You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to a couple of races at Catterick. A busy day of racing though on Monday. Hopefully you can join us for it all with Gary Capel, Sean Quinn and Tom Morley, the team in the studio. But we're going to look back on some of Saturday's star performance as well as a look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me in the studio is Andy Gibson. Andy, how are you?
I'm very good. Very good. Glad to be here, Sam.
Yeah, good stuff. It was a hectic day yesterday, but now the dust has settled, no doubt replays have been watched. We can reflect on some of the action. Always a busy Saturday at this time of the year. It's the nature of the beast, but we'll take a look back at a couple of the classic trials at Lingfield, first of all, before moving on to one of the features of the day at Haydock. And we'll begin with taking a quick look back at the Oaks trial. Lingfield, this was their first race of the day, won by Perfect Clarity, who got the better of Caccini and rather flattered to deceive back in third. It wasn't the day that Aidan O'Brien had envisaged. Perfect Clarity did it nicely for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby. What was your assessment of the race?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, in terms of the Epsom Oaks, I don't think the form is going to add up to that much. I don't know what Perfect Clarity is, probably around about 20-1, I would imagine, for the Oaks.
Perfect Clarity is 20-1 exactly.
Oh, 20-1. Okay,
so 20-1 trader.
So yeah, so 20-1, and that will also be because of the recency bias. You know, we've just seen her win 20s. You could easily see her get a little bit forgotten about, go to 25s, 28s,
yeah,
possibly even slightly bigger come the day, because we've got York coming up. You know, we've got a few. You know, we'll have a race at Goodwood, and there's a few things,
yes,
coming up that could produce something that is going to get in the way between the favourite in the Oaks and Perfect Clarity in the betting. So it wouldn't. She wouldn't be. You know, I mean, she's a nice filly. She's going to win. You'd think she'd win in Group 3, Group 2 class, and she'll pick up a nice prize. Well, she's picked up a nice prize. She'll pick up another nice prize probably somewhere along the season, but she wouldn't be on my mind for the Oaks. What about you?
No, I think I would agree with you. It's not historically been the strongest trial, that race, either. I don't think
it's surprising, isn't it?
That have come out of that race, yeah, and actually gone on to win at Epsom, despite the fact that it's an Oaks trial in name. I think there are probably stronger trials elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, the same, the Oaks and the Derby trial at Lingfield, it's always surprising that it doesn't produce more, because, you know, if you're aiming your horse at Epsom, you probably couldn't ask for a closer match to that course in many ways. Mm. I suppose you could argue that the same thing with the Epsom Blue Riband trial. That's listed status. And
I think it is. Yeah, and again, there aren't many that win that and then go on to
Which, you know, it's kind of, others have become more fashionable. You know, it's quite interesting. I mean, look at, you know, this week we've got the Dante coming up, and you couldn't ask for a different test from the Dante to the Derby, and yet you probably find most of the top trainers sending their best chances to the Dante.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll have less time to get over it, of course,
yes,
as well.
I suppose more prize money to pick up in that race. The race comes with a little bit more prestige.
Sure.
And thinking forward, of course, as all flat trainers sort of have to do in terms of the breeding for the big operations, you're probably going to get more for a Dante winner than a Lingfield Derby trial winner.
Yeah, and of course, you know, at the end of the day, the reality is, if we see it as a trial for one race, then of the 20, 30, 40, 50 contenders, only one is going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
the
percentage call is
that you ain't going to be successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know,
yeah,
I mean, and that's presumably one of the reasons why Lingfield, you know, to that, it at least in comparison with the likes of the Dante, falls by the way a little bit.
Latidar is the favourite for the Oaks, by the way, at 3-1, happily 5-1, 7-1 for September. Tens and bigger the rest, and Perfect Clarity, the winner on Saturday, is 20-1, with top price about Perfect Clarity here at William Hill if you're wishing to get involved. On to the Derby trial then, which produced a very interesting heat. Knight to Behold won it from the front, beat Kew Gardens by 3.25 lengths, the odds on favourite. Corelli was back in third. Now, this was a bit more interesting because Knight to Behold looked keen as mustard from the front, and watching that in running, you thought, well, there's no chance that this horse is going to last home, and he did, and did it quite well. Again, he's a sizeable price for the Derby, but you have to kind of be impressed with that performance, given the way things panned out.
Yeah, and it sort of brought, I'm going back, I'm showing my age here, but it brought memories of Kakorthy's in the Lingfield trial. I think, I can't even remember when that would have been, probably 89 or something like that, maybe even earlier, my God. But it was, he came second or third I think, to Nashwan in the Derby after this. But he ran away with this race in a similar fashion. And, you know, I would say Knight to Behold looked pretty green still. It was particularly impressive because it was his first step up to 1 mile, 3 and a bit, having run over a mile twice previously. What I would say is that maybe 3 furlongs out, I thought Ryan Moore's body language suggested strongly that he thought he was going to reel him in quite comfortably on Kew Gardens. And then I think that he got to work very quickly in the final furlong when he realised, oh my word, I'm not going to get there.
Yeah.
So, if Kew Gardens isn't that far behind Knight to Behold, and I think there's an if there because Knight to Behold might improve more of the two, then, you know, I don't think that Aidan O'Brien is going to have many sleepless nights in terms of Saxon Warrior looking at Knight to Behold.
Yeah.
And that's not because Knight to Behold hasn't got some sort of a chance, because I think he has got some sort of a chance in the Derby. It's just that the question with Saxon Warrior is, if he stays, then he's going to be far too good for the likes of Knight to Behold. I think we'd be pretty clear on that. But the question remains, will he stay?
Yes.
And that doesn't change, irrespective of what comes through in the trials. And we might get 2 or 3 nice horses coming through in the trials. I mean, I think we've had, you know, I think Knight to Behold, you know, I'd have him 4th or 5th best or something like that. And I've just got the prices in front of me there. He's 20-1 as well. Of the two, we've just looked at the Oaks horse, and this one's the same price, Knight to Behold. I prefer this one.
Yes.
He stays the trip. He's going to be uncomplicated on the day. You know that they're going to go off in front. Why wouldn't they after the way he went off yesterday? Yeah. And the horses behind him are going to have to stay. Young Rascal, I thought, looked very impressive at Chester.
Yes.
But, you know, the actual form of that in beating DXB, you know, I mean, he's only... I think he's won with a little bit more in hand than it looked. Sometimes when a jockey stands up at the finish, you think, well, that made it look like he won more easily than he did. But actually, I don't think he did. But in this instance, I think Young Rascal had a fair bit in hand, because when he came round the bend, DXB had already come wide, had the momentum coming into the race, into the straight, went on maybe a neck up on Young Rascal. And I think Young Rascal took a little bit longer to get balanced. And once he got balanced, I think the jockey always knew he was going to get there with something special. So I think he's quite a classy horse. Mm. But again, he's not going to trouble Saxon Warrior if Saxon Warrior stays. So I think you bet on Saxon Warrior. What are we, round up close to even money?
4-5, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, your bet on Saxon Warrior is, do you think he's a 55% chance of staying the trip, which would equate to round about 4-5.
Mm. We've still got the Pentagon and Nelson to run, of course, on Sunday at Leopardstown. So no doubt they'll move in the betting if one of those is to win. Impressively, let's take a look back at the Swinton as well. The big race today at Haydock, of course, we had the big race today at Ascot, won by Rip Orff in the Victoria Cup. But you're primarily a national hunt man, Andy, and Silver Streak winning the Swinton. Evan Williams again in this race.
Yeah, he's done well with it. He won it with John Constable last year, of course, and John Constable ran a really admirable race there off 156, finishing 7th, beating 13 and a bit lengths with James Bowen on. Claiming 3, which I think is probably the handiest £3 in racing at the moment.
Yes, I would quite agree.
A shame with Act of Valour, of course.
Yeah.
Lost his life at the second last hurdle. That was the most painful thing to take out of the race. The second most painful, from certainly from Seamus Mullins' point, was that left Chesterfield in front. He went clear and idled, and I'm sure that the plan wasn't to lead so far out with that one. So I think that Chesterfield is certainly a horse to mark up. He's only beaten three quarters of length, so I think he's going to go up from 144, probably 146, 147. But I still think that will leave him as a very interesting contender for the likes of the big Ascot hurdle race in December. Possibly not the Betfair, because I prefer Chesterfield on better ground. But then when we get back to the springtime, he'll have the three races, the one on Grand National Day, the conditional jockeys yep. race, that is, the Scottish Champion Hurdle, and this race again. So I think that he's a horse to keep in the notebook for those races. Silver Streak, he'll go up 132. He's won by three quarters of length. It was a big prize. He'll go up to, what, 137, 138. He'll have another race in him, I think. He's been crying out all season for this ground. He was beaten by Hunter's Lodge by three or four lengths in a really good race on slightly softer ground. And I think it did him a favour getting beat by three lengths, because he only went up 2 pounds that day. So he kind of got away with it on that occasion, because he looked impressive in the race and just didn't come through early enough. So he's extremely well handicapped, remains so. And the other horse I'd like to take out of that race is Lord Napier, who came sixth. Now, when they quickened up before the second last, Lord Napier, who was very inexperienced, just simply didn't know what to do. They'd gone from him. And then he got hampered by the fall of Act of Valour, only slightly. It probably cost him a length or two. But I think that with that experience under him, then I think he's another horse off a rating of 130. He might get dropped a pound, 129, 130. He'll be at the bottom end of the handicap for some really decent races next season. He's definitely one to look for, Lord Napier. 2 miles, good to soft ground.
Okay, one to take out of the Swinton, then perhaps Lord Napier. Let's turn our attention on to Monday's races now. We've got two from Catterick picked out to give the preview treatment to. We start with our first race of the day, which is the 2 o'clock. And this is a novice auction stakes for the fillies over 5 furlongs. And Shamuki, the horse probably to concentrate on here, Andy, is likely to be around about the 5-4 mark when the betting opens. A good second on debut for Archie Watson, who's had a tremendous winter, of course, on the all weather. Does the race sort of revolve around her?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, obviously there's newcomers in there. You might have something special in there. But Shamuki, what I liked about her was that she jumped out really well on a debut at Beverley. And she only got caught close home. We know that Beverley has that little uphill finish, yeah. which just probably caught her out. Catterick's a much easier track. You'd expect her to jump out again, lead all the way, and I think it'll take a decent horse to beat her. So she would be my next best. I mean, just to add to her claims, Archie Watson, you know, he's had a few that have run well lately. He's 3 from 22 in the last 14 days, but, you know, I like him as a trainer, and I think Shamuki will be hard to peg back tomorrow.
Okay, Shamuki in that 2 o'clock race at Catterick then. And on to the 4:10, which is a handicap over just shy of 2 miles. And when we spoke about this race prior to recording the podcast, Andy, you said you've got a solid one here.
Yeah, I think, and I'm hoping this is going to be a really solid each way bet tomorrow. The horse in question is at the bottom of the weights for the 4:10 in the 2 mile race. It's All Fred and No Bell. Been really consistent over hurdles this season. On May the 5th, 9 days ago at Wetherby, only just got caught by Ingleby Hollow over a mile and three quarters. Definitely stay this trip, All Fred and Nobel. And I think that when you've got a really strong recent run under your belt like he has, that means so much more when you're competing in this low grade. Because there's so many horses that are either out of form or are actually never get into form. So I think All Fred and Nobel is a really solid each-way play tomorrow in the 4:10 at Catterick.
All Fred and Nobel then in that staying contest at Catterick. Thank you very much for your thoughts, Andy. And I hope you can join us on Racing Radio tomorrow with Gary Caperell, Tom Morley and Sean Quinn in the studio. Thank you for listening. This has been the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.